Good morning. Despite what the bulletin says, I am not Pastor Ryan. I'm back. And there is no place I'd rather be on a Sunday than here with you all, especially at this time of year when we are celebrating the first coming of our Lord and Savior. As I was out, it was just a stark reminder that that day cannot come too soon. The passage that we will be speaking about, will be from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And as you're returning there, I will just recall a couple of things about my time with this season. I love winter. I don't love the vast variety of weather we've had this last year, going from very cold to 60 degree weather, back to cold, snow, sleet, frozen roads, and unpredictable everything. But through the years, winter has been a very close part of my life. Not only does it have Christmas, but it is also the season of my birth. I also celebrate my birth in this time of year. It's strange. So many good people have birthdays in December, don't they? Yeah. My grandfather, my namesake, also had a December birthday. My anniversary was just this last week. So there have been a lot of great things that have happened in December in my life, and so many that I know. But with the good, there is also the bad, as also last week, a great aunt had passed away. In fact, I'll be going to the funeral later today and come back for the service tonight. But as there is light, there is darkness. But this season is nothing short of a reminder that as we light those candles, though the darkness of the world seems so insurmountable, the light shines still. And so we go into the passage, and it reads, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, I can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But for those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. But it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased.' Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, 'I have come to do your will, O God.' First he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you placed or pleased with them, although the law did require them to be made.' Then he said, 'Here I am. I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." And so as I was going through this passage, as I had plenty of time to do so in my isolation, I kept on going back to that and to the idea of what this sacrifice means when framed with the idea of love. As we have stated time and time again today and throughout the season, Christmas is a time of hope, joy, and love. We signify this love by giving gifts and exchanging them to one another, by offering our condolences and our cheers of Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. So what does this have to do with love? Well, considering the time of year and how very in touch with commercialization we are as a society, I started to see it as a trip to the store for Christmas shopping. So the law, as being a shadow of the good things to come, that put me in mind of when you go to the store and you just see through the shop window and you see that nice, you find a nice, very sturdy, we've got enough people here today where I could say crocheting set. Many of you are familiar with crochet sets. And say you find a very nice set. It's got all of the different sizes of hooks you need, even the more obscure ones for the very special material that you are using. And you just see it and it is out of reach. You yearn for it and you have your facsimiles that you have at home, your normal plastic or aluminum sets, but these are the real deal. They are not going to break from any wear, tear, or accidental steppings. But they are just out of your reach beyond the window. So you go and act, you go ahead and work, and you save up, and you save up yourself. But you go back and it's gone, or the price has gone up on you. So the glory of what you are seeing beyond that window should not have a response of repeated acts for anything short of returned glory and forgiveness. Because as stated here, the law and the actions designated by the law in sacrifices repeated year after year are merely short of what God's true hope for humanity is. The response to witnessing the glory or seeing that set of crochet is not to simply privately yearn for it or hoard up for it, spending what you have on it, but to rejoice at witnessing it. As Larry so greatly read earlier, the mere presence of the infant child before even being born, the mere presence made those around him rejoice and jump with joy. There was love in the air before he even breathed. And that love and that praise was a domino effect. John jumped with joy, which then made Elizabeth jump and cheer for joy, which then made Mary cry out in praise to God Almighty. The response to glory is not merely acting on the law, but living upon it. Because as we are reminded in this scripture and throughout all of scripture, the actions of the law require repetition. And not the kind of repetition that is habit-forming, but the kind of repetition where you have an alarm on your phone or a clock or a calendar reminder, and it's like, oh, it's tax day again. I've got to fill out these forms, got to take my goat to the temple so that it can be slaughtered. But the desire of God is not that we are perfected by a mere holding to a list of rules and a timetable, but that we live out his will. That we live out the holiness that is bestowed upon us. So, as this is all understood, and worshipers are praising God, and their actions are reflected by others and mirrored and seen, and praise is proclaimed, Christ has come into the world. And what does he say when he comes into the world? Well, according to the writer of Hebrews, he sings a song. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. This comes from a great ancestor in the lineage of Jesus. From the courts of David. It is pulled straight from their understanding of Psalm 40. That segment, it is clearly the writer, the praiser, declaring that all these things are for naught. But the will that you have bestowed upon us shall be the thing that we do. And just like Psalm 80 that was read prior, there is also in Psalm 40 a cry of desperation. Because this is only in the middle that we hear from. We look to the beginning. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Is that not a good thing to hear this time of year? He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And so blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Praise be to God. And it continues. Praise after praise, just as Israel had been discarded and made a mockery, there is still praise to be had. Because Israel had held to the law. They had held to this tradition of holding to the calendar timetable and just doing the motions. But today, we know very well that just simply going through the motions is not enough for God. We see it time and time again, people coming and going, not even just outside of the faith, but even in the faith. People only coming at certain times of year. The two most popular times people go to church, Christmas and Easter. They show their faith in attending, but they do not act on it by repeating. Granted, there are stipulating circumstances. But the church has been very good at making accommodations for these circumstances. We live in a time and age where it is very difficult for you, if you live in Western society, especially in America, to find a sermon online. It is very difficult for you not to find reading materials. It is very difficult for you to not even find a Bible. All you have to do is go to a hotel, look in one of the drawers, and you'll find at least one Bible. And so what have we been doing wrong? Just as we said, Christmas and Easter are our most popular times of the year. Life needs to respect what we see through that window. We can grab hold of that gift. We could grab hold of the thing through the window. The glory of God, the will of God, the metaphorical crochet set. But if we do not know how to properly use it, if we do not use it regularly, it will be a waste. And those that would have seen the activity of God and the kingdom in our midst will have missed out on one of the greatest gifts we have to offer, and that is ourselves. And so the law is no longer an exterior thing that is forcing itself on us. It is no longer just a time on the calendar or an alarm. It is written upon our hearts. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, makes its dwelling place in us. It descends on us whenever we call upon Him. Whenever two or three are gathered in His name, He is there. So why do we not invite Him into the conversation when there is someone new? We must act on the will of God rather than waiting on the will of God to act on us. And so the Hebrews writer continues on and he sort of pieces apart the statement made, separating it into two functions, the first being the sacrifices not being sufficient, but then the will of God being acted upon is sufficient. More than sufficient, even. We are to do it wholly. All that needs to be said is, "Here I am." Just as Samuel said back when he was a young boy, when we hear the call of God, "Here I am, your servant is listening. Let me do your will." The law is not done and over with. The law has just been transferred to us. The law has been put in us so we may have it go through us into the world. The weekly, daily, annual sacrifices are no more. But the sacrifices of self and activity are more apparent than ever. Holiness is our call. And the Nazarene Church really understands and knows what we're talking about when we say that holiness is a word and call to us. It has been our song for over 100 years now. A great testimony to the activity of God in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our workplaces. We have been made holy. And it is our opportunity to make the world holy. Not by passing political mandates, not by taking seats of power, as we know those corrupt, but by living our day-to-day lives not as merely extensions of ourselves, but extensions of the kingdom of God. We cannot break through with the kingdom if we are leaving it behind. And Jesus is the prime example of this. He is quite literally the kingdom breaking through into our reality, becoming man, and being a reflection of the good things that we have to offer. It is not impossible for humanity to begin cleansing the world. Because if Jesus was able to do it, being fully man, we are able to do it with cooperation of the Holy Spirit. And so our prayer in this season should be that the Spirit of God descend upon us as Christ descended upon the world those 2,000 years ago. That the breath of life that was breathed into Adam is also breathed into us so that we may fulfill the purpose that God put us here for. Creation is being recreated, and we are the hands to do it. The kingdom has broken through. And just as in Revelation, Christ will break through. Christ will descend upon the earth. Not as an infant that time, but as a conquering hero. So will we be ready? Will we fully dedicate our lives, our souls, our minds, our strengths to the cause of the kingdom? As we celebrate the coming, will we act on the will of God, not just in solitary, but amongst the world. Praise be to God.